Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Especially if this is your first time, we welcome you. We hope we've been somewhat pleasant to you. Just a few announcements before we start. In your bulletin, there's two things mentioned at the top here. First is this coming Friday, we have a special time for the sisters among us called Sisterhood. It's Friday evening. We have a guest coming to speak, and Wolger from Matthew House. This is just for the sisters. Sorry, brothers, you're not invited, and you're not welcome, and you can't come. You can stay home and look after the children instead, so your wives can come and be free. Sisters, if you would like to bring some little refreshments to have during or after, whatever, just finger food, nothing. No meal, just little snacks to make the time more pleasant. Yeah. Too bad I'm not a sister. It's not for me. Okay. Secondly, just as in here, this matter of prayer support, we have a prayer room at the back here that is always open after the meeting. There's some people there who have offered to pray with whoever feels they need some prayer or for whatever situation. Let's begin by having some more prayer. Lord, we just come again to you this morning. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your word to give us the confidence, to give us the assurance that you have not forsaken us. Lord, this morning as we come again to this book of Exodus, we ask that you would speak to each one of us here in this room. Lord, we want to know you, and we thank you you have given us your word that we can know you. So, Lord, open this word to us again this morning. Speak to each one of us. Bring us another step in our journey with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in the book of Exodus, seeing who God is, seeing who is the God who is rescuing us and the God who is revealing himself to us. Last week, Nigel was in shared with us from chapter 3 of Exodus, showing us a little bit more of our knowing God and how God is revealing himself to us, especially that God is a relational God, and that is conveyed to us by his name, which is Yahweh. Yahweh, which is very, very close to this other word or verb, I am, or to be. God is. God said, I am that I am. So we have this, let's go back to that previous verse you had there. In chapter 3, God said to Moses, go and assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me and said, I have paid close attention to you, to what has been done to you in Egypt. I have promised you that I will bring you up out of from the misery of Egypt to a land flowing with milk and honey. God is a relational God. As we saw earlier also in this book, God hears, God sees, God knows, God remembers his covenant with Abraham. So when God comes to Moses, it's not just a nebulous God. It's a God who relates to Moses, but even more so, God relates to his people, Israel. God wants a relationship with his people. It's not just a God who is ordering things from above. He wants to be with his people. He wants his people to know who he is. And so he says, what is my name? My name is Yahweh. I am. Okay, so he's relating to humanity. What's also interesting is God is relating to Israel through Moses. God relates to Israel through Moses. So, in a sense, God relates to humanity through other human beings. Right? Sometimes we become the vessel through whom we bring God to other people. Just like Moses. He was, in a sense, the vessel.
Who had experience of
You know, Moses was the one who had the experience of the burning bush. Aaron didn't have that. All the rest of Israel didn't have that. Neither have I had it. And I don't think you will either. If you're looking for a burning bush, you're looking for the wrong thing. You don't need a burning bush experience. That happened once to one person and never again. Yes, God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. God did not speak to Israel through the burning bush. How did God speak to Israel? Through Moses and through Aaron. You say, well, where's my Moses today? I'll tell you where your Moses is. It's here. Moses wrote us five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He wrote it down. Now you've got God's word. And you've got God speaking.
So I'd like to say this.
You may.
Moses wrote it down.
For what? For all the generations to come. For Israel and for us. So, the question is this. You may say, I don't feel I know God.
Or I feel distant from God.
God seems far away from me. I need a burning bush. No, you don't need a burning bush.
Let me ask you,
how much time do you spend in the Word to know God? You want to know God? Sorry, there's no shortcut.
There's no all of a sudden a burning bush.
Now I got God speaking.
God speaking is here.
God reveals Himself through His Word. The more time we spend in the Word to know God, the more we will know God. He will reveal Himself through the Word, through His Word.
Why don't we know God so much?
Why don't we know God so much? Or why do we feel we don't know God that much? It's quite simple, actually. We don't spend enough time in His Word.
That's why.
So, I'm telling myself this morning too, you know, because of what I do, I'm in the Word. But my question to myself this morning, am I in the Word not for a message, not for a small group meeting, not for preparing something, but am I in the Word just for myself to know God? That's it. No other reason. And I have to confess, I'm short.
We want to
really know God, we have to know Him through His Word. Otherwise, we can have some strange thoughts about our knowing God. I'll give you a little example. In the 1700s, there was a famous preacher by the name of George Whitefield, or Whitefield, whatever, how do you want to pronounce it? And he was quite a preacher.
Well,
still a fairly young man, he had a son. And when his son was born, he just felt, man, God is going to use this little child. And so, at that time, they practiced infant baptism. So when his son was baptized, baby son was baptized, he gave this message about how God was going to use this child, going to make him a great preacher, going to make him this, going to make him that, going to make, you know.
4 months later, the child died.
George Whitefield had a great revelation. You were wrong. This was your imagination. So he realized from that point on, to be so confident of something that's not in the Word is pretty dangerous. If it's not in the Bible, be careful.
I know this I know this came up in one of our home meetings a few weeks ago, and that is, what is it when we hear people say, God spoke to me, God told me such and such? And most of us have the feeling, I don't know if I've had that experience. I said, I believe you if you say, God spoke to me and told me I was wrong. I probably believe that. Right? We need to know God through His Word. Okay? We have it. We have the words. Fully giving a full revelation of who God is. And how we can have a... And then also, through the Word, not only do we know who God is, but through His Word, we have a relationship with God. Okay. Believe it or not, that's not my main point today. Okay. Let's come to the verses in chapter 4 of Exodus. We'll just read through this. I'll read it to you. Make it a little faster. Then Moses answered... Okay, so just to give you background here, God has spoken to Moses. God has told Moses, you need to go. I'm going to bring my people, Israel, out of the slavery and bondage in Egypt. God's already given Moses this command, and we've already heard that Moses is reluctant. Well, he's still reluctant in chapter 4. Then Moses answered, what if they won't believe me and will not obey me, but say, the Lord did not appear to you? The Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. Then he said, throw it on the ground. And he threw it on the ground and it became a snake. Moses ran from it. But the Lord told him, stretch out your hand and grab it by the tail. What a stupid thing to do. You never grab a snake by the tail. Unless God tells you to. So he stretched out his hand and caught it and it became a staff in his hand. This will take place, he continued, so they will believe that Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Let's keep going. In addition, the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. So he put his hand inside his cloak. When he took it out, his hand was diseased, white as snow. Then he said, put your hand back inside your cloak. He put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, it had again become like the rest of his skin. If they will not believe you and will not respond to the evidence of the first sign, they may believe the evidence of the second sign. And if they don't believe even these two signs or listen to what you say, take some water from the Nile, the river, and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the Nile will become blood on the ground. This morning, our concern is not what does all these signs mean, because there's lots of debate and a lot of supposition, in a sense, as what these signs mean. But what were the signs for? I'd like to ask that question. These signs were for, I would say, two things. First of all, they were to confirm to Moses that the word from the Lord was true and authentic. Secondly, you realize in the picture of this sign, Moses was taught some obedience. Right? He's taught obedience. Throw your staff on the ground. Pick it up by the tail. Obedience that may be pretty difficult. Put your hand in your cloak. Put it in again. Moses is being taught obedience. But secondly, these signs were not only just for Moses, they were for Israel. To what? To both authenticate God, Yahweh, and to authenticate that Moses was sent by God to them. And maybe thirdly, that God was going to do what God promised He would do. You might say the purpose of these signs. They were to authenticate God. They were to authenticate Moses. They revealed his power. The signs, and of course, some said these signs were kind of an indicator, a window of more signs to come, which we eventually see later on, the 9 or 10 signs that followed. But these signs show But these signs show God is able. God is powerful. Secondly, God is concerned for his people. We saw in chapter 3, verse 16 says, God said, I have paid close attention to you and to what has been done to you in Egypt. God cared for his people. Secondly, or thirdly, these signs showed God was going to do something through Moses and through Aaron. So, signs. Let me just talk about signs for a minute. What is our sign today? Do we have signs? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 12, said an evil and adulterous generation demands a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the huge fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. What is the sign? What is our sign? Our sign is resurrection.
That's the sign God has given us.
Resurrection.
The sign of resurrection is the indication.
The sign of resurrection is the indication that God accepted Christ's sacrifice on the cross
for our sin. God accepted it.
For our sin. God accepted it. How do we know? Resurrection. God raised him from the dead.
That's the unique sign.
That's the unique sign.
You don't need to look for a snake.
You don't need to look for a snake. You don't need to look for a diseased hand. You don't need to look for blood on the water chain becoming blood. We already have the sign. The sign of Christ's resurrection.
You want all kinds of signs.
That was the Lord's word.
Miraculous.
You want all kinds of signs. You want something miraculous. Let me tell you, the greatest sign is resurrection. Christ's resurrection is the greatest sign. Why? Because what you need is the cross.
You don't need some miraculous sign to convince you.
You don't need some miraculous sign to convince you. No. Everything is clear from God's word what you need, and you need the cross. And we know the cross worked because God accepted it. He raised Christ from the dead.
Now,
I will say this. If a sign of some sort comes to you, take it, but don't look for it.
Sometimes the Lord does something.
Sometimes the Lord does something for us miraculous.
But I would say,
let it happen. Don't make it happen. There's a difference.
Okay.
Let's continue in Exodus chapter 4, starting in verse 10. But Moses replied to the Lord, please, Lord. Okay, we have all these signs. You think that would be enough? Moses says, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past or recently, or since you have been speaking to your servant. In other words, okay, when I was in Egypt, I wasn't eloquent. Those 40 years. 40 years more in the wilderness, now I'm 80 years old. I'm still not eloquent. And since you've appeared at the bush, even that hasn't made me eloquent. I'm still not eloquent. Either in the past or recently or since you've been speaking to your servant, because I am slow and hesitant in speech.
I don't think, to be honest with you,
Moses was being humble. He was genuine. Yahweh said to him, who made the human mouth?
Who makes him mute or deaf?
Seeing or blind? Is it not I, Yahweh? Now go.
I will help you speak, and I will teach you
what to say.
We come mainly to our main burden this morning,
and that is God used Moses with and in and through his limitation. Moses was fully aware.
Shall we use a contemporary term
of his speech impediment? That's what we call it today, speech impediment.
God was fully aware. God knew, and so did Moses.
No.
God didn't say,
I'm going to perform a miracle.
What God was in essence saying is,
yes, I know fully that you are limited in your speech, that you have a speech impediment. I will still use you anyway. And I'm not going to change that impediment.
Moses wasn't the only one who had problems
or something. Paul also had something. The Apostle Paul. Right? He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. Some translations use puffed up, sometimes proud, whatever. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God didn't remove Moses' limitation. You know, I really love these verses because what's really marvelous about this, who knows what that thorn in the flesh was that Paul had? No one knows.
We all try to figure it out.
But I think it's God's sovereignty that it was never indicated. Why? You can fill in the blank with your thorn. I can fill in the blank with my thorn. Whatever that thorn is. God displays his glory through imperfect people. Let me say that again. God displays his glory through imperfect people. That should become a great consolation to us. You don't have to be perfect. Well, because you aren't. I'm not. None of us is perfect. So Paul says in the same section in verse 10, 2 Corinthians 12, 10, Paul says, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. That seems like an absolute contradiction. But in the realm of God, it's not a contradiction. Why? Because God wants to be the strength. God wants to be the strong one. Some of you know this old song, guide me, O thou great Redeemer, through this barren pilgrim land. I am weak, but you are mighty. Hold me by thy powerful hand. It's good to know what are our limitations. It's good to know that we have limitations. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't strive to improve things, but we will always have some limitations.
that God has left with us so that we don't rely on ourselves. Another hymn begins with this way. Flow through me, Lord, a weak and earthly vessel. Yeah, I'm weak. Okay, let's come back to Moses. So what did God do for Moses? How did God take care of Moses' weakness, you might say? How about we cut? Do we have more verses in Exodus? Chapter 4? I can't remember. No? Okay. What did God do? God gave Moses a helper. God gave him Aaron. Right? In chapter 4. I'll just read this verse here. Verse 13 says, you know, after all of this, even God telling Moses, I will be your mouth and teach you what to say, what you shall speak. Then Moses said, okay, just send somebody else. Forget about me. Then says the anger of the Lord is kindled against Moses. He said, is there not Aaron your brother? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he's coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he'll be glad. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people. He shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. God gave Moses another person to make up for his lack. I think this is quite instructional to us. None of us is complete. None of us is perfect. Therefore, we need others to fill in for our gaps. And we need to fill in the gaps for other people. No one is perfect. But on the other hand, everybody has something to help others, to complete others. So what should we do? Let's just make ourselves available to God according to who we are, not according to who we are not. We can't be everything because we just are not that way. God didn't make us that way. Are we willing to be like Paul and says, I am content with what? With whatever? With our limitation. I'm going to ask you another question because it's a little bit more touches us, and that is, are we jealous of other people who they have something that we don't have? We have to remember, though, no one is perfect. No one is complete. You have something that others don't have. And others have something that you don't have. We need each other. This is the very principle of the body of Christ. No person is complete. Therefore, God has put us together into his body, the body of Christ. We need one another. God uses people with defects to bring the gospel to others. How about that? God doesn't use perfect people because there aren't any except for Christ. God uses us who all have defects to convey the gospel. Yes, Paul says we have the treasure in earthen vessels. We are earthen vessels, yes, but there is a treasure.
So we shouldn't think neither
So we shouldn't think, neither should we look for a perfect person.
No one's perfect. There's no perfect leader.
No one's perfect. There's no perfect leader.
We just had an election. Who's a perfect leader for
the
country?
Who's the perfect leader for the country? I think everybody's saying, let me vote to see who do I vote for? The one who causes the least damage. Isn't that how we vote?
If you've been around long enough, you know,
if you've been around long enough, you know that
this person too will pass.
This person too will pass.
There's no perfect situation.
There's no perfect solution. There's no perfect person. There's no perfect preacher. Everybody has. We all have our lacks. God gives us other people to supplement our limitations. And it is a sign of maturity that we can embrace others when we know our limitations and we realize, oh, that's great. Somebody can fill in my limitations and I can fill in for their limitations. No one is perfect. So, be thankful you don't have to listen to me every week. There's others who fill in for my limitations. And I think vice versa too. We all fill in for one another, right? We all have limitations. Maybe those limitations are circumstantial. Maybe our family situations just cause us to be limited. Maybe our health situation causes us to be limited.
Then we need to remember Paul, I am content.
I am content.
My situation with my limitation.
Then we have limitations just in who we are, in our abilities. If I was a short guy, 5'4" or something like that, that's pretty short for a guy, right? Let's say 5'8", the more reasonable. And I would say, you know what? I'm going to be a basketball player, professional basketball player. And you know, they tell you if you put your mind to it, you can do whatever you want to do. Well, if I'm a short guy, and I say, no, I'm going to be a basketball player. You know what that means? I don't know my limitations. I will never be a basketball player. Maybe I can run between the legs of some of the professional basketball players, but there's no way I will ever be able to reach that basket like they do and hang from it, right? You know, they jump up and hang. No way. I have to accept my limitations. I will never be a professional basketball player. You know, some of you, some of those people, you guys who like hockey, you know this well-known, this new rookie hockey player who's now sidelined because of, what's his name? Connor McDavid. Okay, you know what he had to do when he got signed with Edmonton Oilers? One of the first things they did to him or told him was, you know what? Now you're playing in the NHL. You're not heavy enough.
You need to put on weight.
He had to go to see a dietitian, whatever it is, somebody who knows nutrition, and say, okay, you've got to beef up. Why? You're now in the NHL. If you don't put on more weight when you get checked into the boards, you'll become a pancake. And when you check others into the boards, there needs to be some oomph behind it. You got to change. Okay. Anyway, at least he could put on weight. Now, we have to realize God made us the way we are. This verse we had earlier in Exodus 4:11. It's kind of a startling verse. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute? Who makes him deaf? Who makes him seeing? Who makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Oh, wow. Isn't that a strong verse? Kind of hard verse. God made us with the limitations that we have for His glory. For His glory. To use, even to through our limitations, God will use us. As parents, we want our children never to have a problem. Right? Nothing to frustrate them. But we know as parents who have raised children, there's always something. Because our, just like us, just like their progenitors, they have weakness too. They have limitations too. God uses it. God has formed our inward parts. Psalm 139 says, "You were formed. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." God made us the way we are. God will use our limitations. We have a number of families here. Surprisingly, sometimes a number of families who have children who have some, what should I say, special needs or whatever. And I am sure, as a parent, when you first found out about that, you were devastated. That's totally understandable. We all want our children to be perfect. And I think every parent goes through this from one degree to another. But as time goes on, we realize that special needs child became the means through which God did something, firstly in you as a parent, and then oftentimes to others. God is not afraid of limitations. God uses them. Limitations humble us. Limitations make us approachable. Learn to be content with our weakness, with our limitation. Reluctant, but I think I will have time. I'm going to talk about a young lady. I won't mention her name. Some of you, many of you know her. She struggled and still struggles with a slight speech impediment. She, maybe by the Lord's mercy, will have it the rest of her life. Kind of hard to say it that way, right? But I would say the Lord has used it because, in one hand, she is quite capable in many ways, but this one thing always causes her to have to seek the Lord. And her career is talking with people all the time. How about that? The Lord uses it. The Lord is surprising. We think that certain, even we think that certain careers need a certain ability. Well, yes, that's true. My wife has a cousin whose husband who passed away a year or so ago. But anyway, he has a strong speech impediment. Whenever you talk with him, you just, even one-on-one is evident. Guess what his career was? He was a lawyer. Now, he wasn't a courtroom lawyer, but still, he was a lawyer. And I thought, God, you're really amazing. You're really amazing. My son had a very slight speech impediment. Guess what he is? He is a courtroom lawyer. Yes. Believe it or not.
in his first year of university, he won the award for best orator. Much to his great surprise, one of his classmates said, the best part of that award ceremony was the look on your face when your name was announced. It's like that absolute look of total disbelief. Yeah, God uses whatever he wants, how he wants. At the same time, we have to be humble to realize we need others. We need other people. Okay, let me just end this way. We need to make ourselves available to God just as we are. Just as we are. Don't think you have to be perfect. We all have our limitations. But be available. Be available to God. Be available to God for your family. With your limitations. As a father, as a mother.
God placed us all in families. God's intention is that we all, because to raise a child, no person is complete. Therefore, the fathers make up the lack of the mothers.
They work together in raising children.
Be available to your families.
Be available. To your families.
Fathers, be available.
Don't just think, well, the children are my wife's job. No.
Children need both fathers and mothers.
Children need both fathers and mothers.
Fathers, be available to your children.
Fathers, be available to your children.
Then, at your job, at school, with your neighbors, with your friends, be available.
Let the Lord use you as the Lord sees fit to use you. Don't feel, oh, I just don't have. I've got nothing. No, nobody has nothing. Everybody's got something. Everybody's got something. Be available to God in the church. Let the Lord use you as you are. And then work with others the Lord has given you to make up the lack. God uses
imperfect
people. That means you, and that means me. Let's pray.
Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this.
Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this illustration of Moses and how you used this man in spite of his limitation. Even in spite of leading a whole group of people, he still had a speech impediment. Lord, you know we all have weaknesses. Lord, sometimes we do try to deny our weaknesses, our limitations. Lord, grant us a realization that we can be content with our limitations and find grace to still follow you, to serve you, and to make ourselves available to you. Lord, be with each person here in this room as we seek to know you from your word, as we seek to be open to follow you.